Usually when you hear the word intelligence, it sounds like the most positive word you can have. In fact, if somebody's intelligent, we think that's a great thing, and it is. But like as with anything else, if you remember in God's word, God made very clear to the rich man, and of course to us, that only God is good. So you can have intelligence used incorrectly. You can have intelligence be evil. You see, intelligence is the ability to learn facts and skills and apply them, especially when this ability is highly developed. It's something that we all have to a certain level, some more than others. But as with anything else, what we've been doing is replacing that intelligence for spirituality. And we've allowed that to happen in the church. Dangerously so. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 21 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written," watch this, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." As we've seen in that passage, he says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise," and he's also going to destroy the intelligence of the intelligent. If I define myself as wise based on the world, if I define myself as intelligence based on the world, I'm going in the wrong direction, and what I have is going to be destroyed. Because that intelligence is actually keeping us away from God. Let's understand how intelligence should be used. First of all, worldly intelligence is not one of the attributes God looks for in us. I know we get some people, and I watch people all the time. They'll get somebody to get up there and they'll start speaking, and you're caught up in their intelligence. You're caught how brilliant they are, the big words they use, how educated they are, how well-read they are. All that stuff is nice, but look what God says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things," watch this, "of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Now, what he's stressing here, and he keeps using the "of the world" part, is because we allow the world to tell you if you're great or not. We allow the world to tell you if you are important or not. See, the world has done this, and we've taken certain groups of people and said that they're better than others. We've taken certain people and said they're more important than better, important than others. We've allowed the world to tell us when somebody's more beautiful than others, and we've allowed this, and we've accepted this, and we've fully grasped this. But it's based on the world. And God says, "I'm not following that." And this is why we get confused. Because I think in our minds right now, we probably have in our minds some of the people we think they're going to lead us, and they're going to be the ones in heaven, and you're going to be fooled. It's going to be a bunch of people you don't know. Some people you would never suspect, because they're not puffing themselves up. They're puffing up the Lord. That's why it says, "Let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Their intelligence is only going to be what God allows. Worldly wisdom tries to impress, while godly wisdom is edification from God. 2 Corinthians 1, 12 through 13 says, "Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God." Did you catch that? Didn't say we are so brilliant, we're so smart, we got all this education, you got to listen to us because we're always right. No, no, no. They said in the holiness that only comes from God and the sincerity that are from God. True sincerity is not from self. True sincerity is from God. He says, we have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. Two totally different things. The church has totally hurt itself in these past many years by allowing these brilliant people to come in and restruct or readjust the church to fit what the world would say would work in a worldly type of setting. But we're supposed to do everything through God's grace. That's walking by faith. That's humbly allowing. That's only trusting in Him. That's why it says in verse 13, it says, for we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. In other words, we're not trying to get up there and wow you. No. The purpose is to teach you, is to feed you. But doing it in His way. That's our boast, that it comes from Him. That it's structured based on and powered by God. Worldly intelligence, worldly intelligence caters to our senses and to living by our senses instead of faith. We live based on outcome. I'm going to say it again. Worldly intelligence caters to our senses and to living by our senses. Instead of living by faith, we live based on our outcome. And this is not a good thing. Colossians 2, 20 through 23. It says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. So he's saying, so if you're truly a Christian, you died to what the world says, this is the way you're supposed to go, this is how things are supposed to turn out. So why is it that so many people become Christians and they're still going on that same path and they're still allowing outcomes and how they see it to define if they're going the right way or not? That's why he's asking, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Why are we still allowing the world to dictate when something is right and not? He says they did stuff like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, he said, because they are based on human commands. Do y'all catch this? He's saying these things don't come from God. They're coming from what man thinks God should do. They're coming from what man is saying is a godly thing. Right? What man is telling you to do and what man is teaching. But not depending on God. It made very clear such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. So it looks wise. If you don't know any better, it looks wise. But the thing that's going to make it so I know when it is wise versus when it looks wise is if I only walk by faith. And what I mean by that is I'm listening to you, and all I'm listening to is you give me the full amount of God's word, because I'm going to check it. You understand that? Not, man, that's profound, that's incredible, but is it from God? And he says they do it with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And that sensual indulgence doesn't just mean they lack in restraining sex. Sex is included in it, but it means it stops in restraining the flesh and the desire. You get it? You watch these same people, and sometimes they're worse than the world. Why? Because they're using flesh to try to stop the flesh. You get that? That's why I said self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body. They're doing stuff that the flesh is telling them to do. Stop the flesh. Instead of spiritually restraining the flesh. God hid the spiritual truth from the worldly intelligence. If I invest more in my worldly intelligence and I let that define me, I cannot know what God's word is. I cannot understand the things that he has for us to know. It says in Matthew 11, 25 through 26, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. Now, I can be wise and learned, but not be defined by it. So I can still go to school and I can understand the wisdom of the world, but I still 150% depend on God. You understand that? So I don't go and because college taught me something different, I start swaying away from what the Bible says. You see that happening a lot. You go learn something new from some source, and you get away from what the Bible said. That's a person who is worldly learned and worldly wise. He says, you have hidden from them. So if I choose to go that way, I'm going to miss. But if I stay with God, then I'm still what's called a little child. It says, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. A little child is that person that's just receiving from God, just taking it in. And that's what my God said. That's what my Father said. Do you understand that? But you get to know it alls when we get older. Well, that's not true. I learned. I found out. This is very frustrating at times. When you get people that come in with this knowledge, that's really not knowledge. But they get so much of it. And the people that taught them, once again, come off so brilliant. They mislead them. Now, God gave us intelligence for a reason. Proverbs 15:14 says, the mind of the intelligent, watch this, seeks knowledge. But the mouth of fools feed on folly. In other words, true intelligence understands that I got to seek God. True intelligence understands that. But here's the problem. When you get intelligence, it, as you're going to see a little later, does something to us. It puffs us up. So we tend to then want to continue to get knowledge based on us. The more a person knows, the more confident they are. And you say, what's the matter with that? Well, they're confident in self. They rely on self. You get this? See, the mind of an intelligent seeks knowledge. But seeking knowledge means I'm going to seek God. But if I seek the wrong type of knowledge, I'm in trouble. That's why it says, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Continues to say and speak out of what they think is intelligence. Godly intelligence seeks information from God. Proverbs 15:14 shows us that. It says, the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed folly, as we just read. And then we see the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. Did you get that? The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. So it's important for us to recognize that the discerning and the purpose of discerning wants to get what God has to offer. It receives it. That's what its goal is. It acquires knowledge. Now, godly intelligence is taught by God and displayed spiritually and can only be understood spiritually. That's the difference you're going to see. So you get the worldly intelligence. Once again, in no way am I stopping somebody from reading or getting knowledge. I enjoy gaining knowledge, but that knowledge is just that. It stays dormant, and it never goes beyond what God has given me. And it never mixes in what God has given me. And I've noticed when I would see the stuff that I would get, it would just be interesting, and that's where it stops. But you get so many of them that it becomes interesting, and then it becomes corruption. Godly intelligence is only taught by God. This is in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. It says, this is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Very clear. You understand? He said, this is what we're speaking. We're speaking those spiritual words, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And he makes very clear, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So I don't care how brilliant you are, you'll hear this and you'll just shake your head. Most worldly intelligent people are atheists. And that's scary. And unfortunately, like you said, you still got these church members or church organizations that are inviting these people in to kind of form the church. Why? Because they're brilliant as far as we're concerned. You see, intelligence by itself corrupts a person. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 3 says, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. That's what we talked about earlier. Knowledge by itself makes me feel good about me, confident about me. It's all about me. But watch what he says. But love builds up. Only reason I want knowledge is so I can help others. I care less what you feel about me. Now, my feelings don't feel that way, but I have to be that way. See, I feel like when you give me a compliment and keep this so smart and this, that it feeds my ego. That's dangerous to me because then I just want you to look at me and hold me up on a pedestal. And unfortunately, you watch people that do it and we still do it. But love is, what can I do to help this person? How can I help them? Love builds up. It says the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know, watch this, as he ought to know. It didn't say he didn't know. He doesn't know as he's supposed to know. So you have these brilliant people that know a lot, but what they know is not the way they're supposed to know. That's why it says, but the man who loves God is known by God. See, as smart as you could be, you're always seeking, okay, God, give me your word. You're always in the word to receive his knowledge. You're not, oh, I get it. Oh, that makes sense to me. You're not trying to fill in what you think you don't already know. No, you're going to him for everything all the time. That is a truly brilliant person. When you hear somebody that's swished and swayed all over the place because they're pulled by all these people that say things that are profound to them, those people are in danger. Conversations that exclude God lead to people becoming ungodly, including intellectual conversations. 2 Timothy 2:16 through 17 says, avoid godless chatter. And let me stop there, because like I said, I'll listen to some of the conversations some people have and philosophies and things of that sort, and it's without God. And in that, they think they sound brilliant. But the minute you bring in God, I had a person I worked with, and every time I would do that, at times, just to see his response, he would almost look at me like, oh, here you go with this mess. You understand this? And that's why he tells us not to throw pearls at swine. The pig sees pearl not as a value. It's going to put it in the mud and trample over because it's meaningless. It's not going to go, this is a pearl. Do you know how much this is? You know how valuable this is? No. They're going to take it and they're going to treat it like any other garbage out there. And this is exactly what the world will do with godliness. This is why we can't give them that. So when I then get caught up in godly chatter, that means that's the conversation that I have that I'm really taking in, I'm gaining understanding. Watch what happens. He says, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Political season comes around. I watch these people getting these political conversations, which are not godly conversations. Even though this, some of the political ones will add God's name, they're not godly conversations when it's not 100% based on God. So we get involved in these non-godly conversations. We become more ungodly. And then our teaching spread. Y'all see this pattern? And this is exactly what's happening today. We are so far away from him, but the garbage you do hear being spread has nothing to do with God. It's God less. Now, if we're not careful, we will be misled by things that sound good. It's Colossians 2:2-4 says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, which is your purpose, and united in love. So us coming together based on God's agape love, so that they may have, watch this, the full riches of complete understanding. In other words, in order for us to get what he's offering to us, complete understanding of what we need to understand and how valuable that is, I got to be encouraged in God. My encouragement has to be through him, not based on the world, not based on my sight, but based on God. And then I got to be with the rest of the body, and I got to be with the rest of the body in love, in godly love. He's saying these are two ingredients for me to get true intelligence. But we've allowed stuff to separate the church. Did you notice that? And we allow our flesh to be our encouragement, not God. See, he says we have this access in order for us to have full access of the complete understanding in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Christ is that complete understanding. That's why he is the way, the truth, and the life. I just got to continue to know Christ. He says, I tell you this, watch this, so that, I'm sorry, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all, everybody say all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you can go read all the books in the world and follow all these, brilliant men and listen to all the documentaries and read whatever you want to do. He's saying, no, everything you need to know is in Christ. He has access and we can get it, everything. And it's called the treasures and the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Everything I need to be wise and to be knowledgeable is in Christ. You'd be breaking your neck for us to have Bible study, for us to talk about it, for us to get the word. Why? Because this is what you need. The world said, nope, got to read this, read this other person's book and follow this and all this other junk. And even theological schools are doing that more. They're giving you all these other people's books, and you got these ministers going out of the way to write their books. And a lot of times, the books aren't them enhancing, giving you God. It's them philosophizing, giving you their feelings, giving you stories. And what ends up happening, you get misled. And this is why he's saying, no, no, just make sure you're focused on Christ. And he answers why. In verse 4, he says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. I don't want anybody to deceive you by arguments because they sound good. And this is what happens to us. Somebody says something, we'll go, I never thought of that. And we're gotten. That's it. They got us. We're caught. And it happens so easy. But we won't have fine sounding arguments. Our answer will always be, where's that at in the Bible? It won't be something that I have to really think about. I never thought of it that way. It's show me that in the Bible. You won't get misled with all this garbage that's out here that sounds good. That's still a sense. Those that depend on human intelligence can cause a lot of damage. 2 Peter 3:16, he writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking them of these matters. His letters, watch this, contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scripture to their own destruction. Now, first of all, when I do something to scripture, when I distort it, I'm in trouble. This is sacred. Okay, so you got these ministers and people that are writing books and doing things and they're distorting the word and telling you what you not have to do. They're going to pay for it. And I don't care how long they've been a minister, what their name is, how much you respect them. If they distort the word of God, they are in trouble. Plain and simple. You understand? That's why I call them ignorant and unstable people, distort. But the people who have been doing it, we count them as brilliant leaders, outstanding innovators. We want these people. But he was like, no, if they tell you anything to the word, you need to run away from them. When the word is hard to understand, it just means I pursue understanding it. He didn't say impossible to understand. He said hard to understand. So that's work harder to understand it. We want instant understanding or we go, I'm done. You notice that when it comes to God? The intelligence of what some who teach, intelligence of someone who teaches false doctrine is not intelligence at all. In 1 Timothy 6:3-5, it says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. So we already described that. So when the person comes in and it's not based on sound doctrine, that teacher is false. Just showed us that. And didn't just say instruction, it said sound instruction. I don't want to be just a one scripture or two scripture minister. I got to be sound, all scripture minister. It goes on to say he has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind. In other words, you see them holding debates. They like to prove that they're wrong. They like to show, look at how much I know. It's all about them. And then it says, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain, which we do see all too common today. Church has been this money pit for many people, and the teachers get up there and they start these things to prove, look at how right I am, and I want you to look up to me. Remember, it's about me. Send me your money because of how great I am, and I'm going to be the one you want to be like. And man, this includes those that teach God's word with things added to it. 2 John 9 says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now, understand, coming back, because we're all talking about intelligence, the intelligent will teach either false doctrine, distort doctrine, or add to doctrine. And because of their intelligence, we follow them. I just said in the last sort of my steps when we talked about ignorance, that I've been in places where people spoke on it, especially when it comes to talking about demons and stuff like that. Half the stuff you hear people say about what you need to do, if there's demonic this, demonic that, this is what you do, ask them, where is that at in God's word? God willing, in the next couple of sermons coming up, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare to show you exactly what the Bible says about dealing with those. And you're going to see it's a lot less than what a lot of these people are saying. But you still got a lot of people doing it. I had somebody one time tell me not to bring this certain thing into your house because it brings in demons. I said, wow, okay, thank you for that. And then I said, so where did you get that from? Oh, no, it's true. That was their answer. I said, no. I said, I just need to understand. How do I know it's true? How do I know the other stuff in my house is not demonic? And how do I know it's not maybe just some stuff that brings in angels, right? And I started adding stuff to trying to add, and they're like, no. And we were going back and forth on stuff that does not exist in the Word. I could have allowed them to truly mislead me, and then I would have misled others. We are to avoid all teachings not based on the pure Word of God. It says in 1 Timothy 6, 20-21, he says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter. In other words, if I can't show that it's truly from God, I don't want to hear it. He says, turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what's falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so, have wandered from the faith. And he tells them, grace be with you. The key is showing you is make sure it's from God, not somebody that's speaking what they call knowledge. I'm speaking knowledge to you. Well, where'd you get it from? And then they tell you something else. The minute they don't say it's from the Bible, you go, okay, thank you. And you move on. Because they're misled, trying to mislead you. You see, Christ prayed that the Word will separate us to be used exclusively by God. There's a difference here. My brilliance isn't for me to be this mind of his own. No, my intelligence is to understand I'm just an instrument to be used by God. And the thing that prepares me to truly be used by God in the way that I'm supposed to is by God. It's from God. This is Word. John 17, 14 through 17. Watch what Jesus says in this prayer. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Watch this. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not to take them out of the world. So he's not saying take them out of it and put them on some island somewhere so they can live in their own Christian community. No. He says, but that you protect them from the evil one, because the world is run by the evil one. And he makes very clear again, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But watch what he says in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Remember, to be sanctified is to be set aside, to be consecrated, to be made just for God's use. You tell somebody, oh, no, you don't mess with them. Those are God's people. Do you understand that? And he was like, the way we are truly set aside just to be used by God, the Bible tells us how to do that. He's not coming down here going, man, that Keith is brilliant and the books he wrote and all the stuff he did. He's saying the ones that are clearly following what my word is saying are the ones that are sanctified. Even that word, I grew up thinking it was somebody that was shouting, jumping around, doing all this other stuff. But the Bible's telling me, no. Sanctification is a person who 100% lives by his word. That's what sanctifies us. How I deal in situations, how I am, based on his word. And then we have to stop adding our understanding to our trust in God. See, in our intelligence, and this is a dangerous thing, the more worldly intelligent you become, you question God. We have no right to question God. Have no problem asking God a question. But when we question God, we put ourselves in danger. That's why it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, what it means by that is, I just want to hear what he says. That's where it should end. As a pastor, you know, how many times somebody asks a question, I'll give them something based on God's word. I'll show them what the Bible says. And then they'll come back, but what about? And they're not asking a question. They're usually questioning. I know that's what he says here, but what about this situation here? Well, that situation's wrong. I can't see that. That's what they'll say. I just can't believe that. And they'll react on what they just can't believe instead of trusting what he says. Our understanding, our intelligence really beats us up without us, instead of us just trusting in him. Finally, Do not allow the world's intelligence to be what you count as strength. Do not allow this world's intelligence, the world's intelligence, to be what you count as strength. Okay? We actually have to get rid of it. We have to see it as a danger. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20, do not deceive yourselves. Deception is a choice, and a lot of times it comes from our own selves. He says, if any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. This is this is one I can really speak of, because in the late years of my high school, I was doing very well. I was going to college. All this stuff came into play. I just knew everything, and I got saved. So I had all this coming to things. So I'm thinking, I'm this brilliant man, and I got God, and thank God. I was confused in a lot of stuff. I was behind in a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff I didn't understand. My dyslexia kicked in. It was just very frustrating, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I fought it until my early 20s, and it wasn't until I said, you know what? I'm starting from scratch. And what I said was, I'm going in. He says it. I'm doing it. That's it. And I ain't gonna lie, the feeling came over me a couple of times, many times. And when I would hear what his word would say to do, and I would go, what? But that was the answer. I'm going to do it. I had to become what the world calls a fool, that he may become wise. I had to become where I didn't know anything in order for him to just teach me. He says in verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. See, the problem with people in the world, a lot of them, is not the learning process. It's the stuff that you got to get them to unlearn. Right? You got to pull them back to the starting phase again. And until somebody gets that, they're going to keep corrupting with the garbage they think they already learned. And he says, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. As basic as this study has been, and we just went through all of them. We went through an understanding of ignorance, of culture, of emotions, and of intelligence. And we've seen that all of those we either put in place of or we distort spirituality. What I'm hoping is you're listening to each of these, because, and this is not some random ones I just picked out. You'll go through the word and everything's going to fall into those that we've used to replace or to distort spirituality. If we only use these things as God has given, which I've done in each study, show you how God has given it to us, and only use it that way, but still function fully based on what his word said, then we wouldn't allow this corruption to happen in our walk. Let us use true intelligence and follow the only answer, which is Christ. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you, dear Lord, for the offers that you give us. We ask for your forgiveness, that we allow ourselves and our minds and what we think to go astray. Help us, dear Lord, to stay humble and stay focused on you, to be the instruments used completely by you. We want you to completely use us. We don't want to get in the way. We want to make sure we're walking the way. We want to be strengthened by your word as all that we need, as intelligence, all that we need in structure. Show us the things we need to get rid of in our lives, dear Lord, and if we need to wipe everything clean for us to start from scratch, so be it. But we want to make sure we're glorifying you with our lives, that everything we do bring others to you, so when others see us, they see you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.